Blog Talk Radio.
Hebreer från Sverige och jag älskar min straightway-stam och mina systrar.
Finland.
Olen hebrealainen Suomesta ja rakastan straightway-heimoani ja siskojani.
Israel.
Ani Ivriam Israel, ohevet et shevet straightway ve'achyotai.
I am a Hebrew from Trinidad and Tobago. I love my straightway tribe and sisters.
Puerto Rico.
Soy hebrea de Puerto Rico. Y amo a la tribu de Straightway. Y también a mis hermanas.
Philippines.
Usa ko ka Hebrew gikan sa Cebu, Philippines. Gihigugman ako ang pamilya sa Straightway. Labi na ang mga igsuon na ako nga babae.
Australia.
I am a Hebrew from Australia. And I love my Straightway tribe and sisters.
Japan.
私は日本からのヘブライ人です。私はストライウェイ族と私の姉妹が大好きです。
Canada?
I am a Hebrew from Canada, and I love my straightway tribe and sisters.
Hallelujah, bless you, and welcome to another show. I need to pull up Mother Jennifer. Shalom, shalom, and greetings. Thank you all so much for your time and for your attention. May Most High Yah continue to keep you. Praise Yah. Area code 706. Mother Jennifer, is it you, ma'am?
Yes, ma'am. It's me, Sister Ashley. Bless you. It's good to hear your voice, and it's good to be here for another episode of Sister to Sister. I can hear you very well, and I pray that you can hear me, and I am able to pull up the chat this week. So we can proceed whenever you're ready.
Hallelujah. Thank you so much. I'm pulling up the chat now, too. I was ready to call in, and I just didn't click on her pre-show. That's what I usually do. I pull her up as a caller, as a co-host, as a helper with me, and I didn't do that pre-show, so you get to hear it live this time. Hey, just a quick announcement. I was thankful for Sakina sharing it with me. I wasn't aware, so praise Yah. If any of you missed it, this would potentially be our last show for the next 3 weeks. Okay, I'm going to give you a rundown. Today is March the 7th, okay? Next week, March the 14th, on fifth day, we will be waiting for a interview with Pastor Dow and Zion Lex. Okay, so this interview information will, I hope, be announced, time, where we can find it, all that good stuff, details to come. If something happened, if he chooses a time that's not our show time, then perhaps we'll have a show, okay? But for now, this is it. Tonight is it. So he met Zion Lex at Hebrew to Negro Conference, and he's going to interview him. He's going to talk about what we should be doing as Israelites. So always looking forward to interviews and those interested in talking to Pastor. So that's scheduled for March 14th, okay? If you guys didn't know, it was put out on Patreon. If you don't follow Patreon, consider it. It's an option. Hallelujah. And the 21st of March, let's back it up one day, on the 20th of March, saints begin arriving for our feast days. And March 20th opens up. That's 13 days from now? Yeah. March 20th is 13 days from now. And so we'll start seeing some of you. And then Passover is actually the evening of the 24th, right? So it's going to be on a Sabbath this year. Looks like Unleavened Bread is going to keep us from a show on the 28th because saints are still here and still a feast, and we always cancel when we have a large family that's still here. So you're going to miss the show if you stay tuned and if you follow from a distance, and I hope that the associated channels on YouTube that are associated with the ministry provide you plenty of connections and fellowship. I really do. Thanks for the honor of listening. Again, blessings to the aged women and the mothers of the ministry. Thank you for your time and attention. And may the Most High Yah continue to bless you as you yield in your old age to Him. So we'll be back on the show on April the 4th. And yes, I just found out Sakina kindly stopped by to let me know. And so April the 4th, you will hear us again unless next week something changes. Okay? Yah willing. So tonight we're going to act like this is it. We're going to continue like this is it. Mother Jennifer, any announcements from you, ma'am?
I don't, Sister Ashley. I just wanted to ask you, how is the Be a Blessing list?
Hey, thank you so much for asking that. Our needs are really being met, and I want to say thank you again. I really, really mean that. Your giving is duly noted in heaven. It really is. It's for when the needs are met here with the Be a Blessing list, that means your needs are met when you come. You know, your family might only take 30 bowls the entire time you were here for your meals, but yet you gave more than that and blessed others. And I truly think that our needs are being met, that we are at a very good place. And I thank Jesus, of course, everyone, hallelujah, for the blood and sacrifice and atonement for me, for the Passover that's coming up, and give that moment of reverence to Him also in my announcements. But another successful countdown. We have counted down all throughout some of these winter months, and just 13 days remaining until the land opens up, and another 16 or so until we wash one another's feet. So I am excited to pay honor and respect to the King who died for me. Hallelujah. Mother Jennifer, anything else?
That's all I can think of, Sister Ashley. I think you've covered everything very well. Very excited to be able to be with our people and to be invited and to partake of the Passover. So it truly is an honor. Sister Ashley?
Hallelujah. I enjoy being with you, Mother. I look forward to hopefully, you know, sitting down and just observing your maturity and, you know, talking about our testimony to the Most High, you know, if we're able. I look forward to that and to anyone else who has a chance to get that wisdom from you. I also look forward to their help as if it was mine. So I do look forward to the help. A lot of times the feast will be right outside. I'll be maybe in the tabernacle. Sometimes when you fellowship and it's loud in the chow hall, I'll step out, you know, to answer others' questions. I've been to many people's tents, seemingly less tents on Passover because some of the saints in the communities that are nearby, Clarksville, for example, they don't always stay, you know, on land. It's not a requirement to. And thank you, Sakina. I'll look for that email as well. I haven't heard about anyone's goods or sales. We usually really announce a lot about, you know, marketplace and people's businesses and keeping the funds in Israel and really blessing the hands of those who want to labor for the saints. We talk about that at the Feast of Tabernacles. It's just not a lot of promotion that happens at the Feast of Passover. But maybe some of you know how amazing Tamika's deodorant is. Wink, wink. And Tia is also making candles now. So Sakina perhaps will share that link, and we can give you more information as we move forward. Tia, is it okay for me to tell the entire world that you're making candles, ma'am? Hallelujah. Because I'm gonna go there about how amazing they are. I'm going to go there if you say so. And y'all just laugh at me, okay? Because that's me and Tia. Mother Jennifer, let's talk. I don't know. Are you ready? Hopefully to edify the sisters tonight.
Yes, ma'am. I have no idea what we're talking about, but I'm ready.
I don't either. I said I do have an idea because I was sitting on my couch when I was. You know, mothers, we don't get many moments of peace or no noise, and that's okay because I love the life. I love being a mother. But my husband was working with all of his older sons, and then my youngest, you know, I say my, but he's still under such care, you know, dependency of me, but his fourth and final son was asleep. And we cook at home on fifth day, and we break bread from house to house. So sometimes someone might come over and eat. Sometimes we might just all eat at home alone. The Bells, we feed Teacher Shane and Brother Izzy, and they come by and get their plate every time we eat at home. And we had cheeseburgers, hallelujah. And so I got a few minutes. I'm warming everything up, and I'm like, oh, let me take this moment to see what me and Mother Jennifer could give the audience. You know, what I'm always thinking, what can I take out of Mother Jennifer's mind and use to glorify the Father, and always considering that I'm trying to host and lead, and that's what she wants me to do. And I do consider that I talk more than her, and I know at times I never want to disrespect in that way because I also desire greatly to hear from her. But I sat down, I was scrambling around for a pen, and not just any pen, you know, the pen that you want to write with, and it just kind of hit me. In that moment, exactly what we should conversate about. And so I know it's going to be new to you, and I'm going to build on that, but check this out, y'all. Sometimes at night, just sharing a little moment with, pause, let me read this. Email is, this is for Tia, it's coming up in the chat room, Shantia L, I'm going to spell it, shontial.k@yahoo.com for 10 ounce homemade candles by Tia. Let there be light at Sister Tia. That's cool. Let there be light. Hallelujah. So we'll communicate that more and more, and I'll get with Tia on how much she wants to be promoted. I really want to bless her. She blesses me. All right, but jumping back, sometimes, maybe you guys do this, maybe you don't. I'll have moments throughout the year where, you know, I'm completely removed from videos, you know, listening to things, like just I don't even turn on anything, music, nothing, if it's not just, you know, within the ministry, that's what I listen to. And then I have moments of time where I dive into something, you know, visually, YouTube, et cetera, and maybe you guys have those things too where you hit something that interests you and you kind of stay there for a little bit. Anyway, always trying to balance the amount of time that you spend on YouTube. And I do this late at night when everyone's asleep, and it's really late. But I began to dive into, what would you call it, vloggers on YouTube that travel around the world. Maybe you've seen them. Some travel just within the United States. to observe the inner city violence, the drug use, and even the rural populations of joblessness and homelessness. And it's a marvel if you're interested in it, if you haven't seen any of those followings. There's home squatters, if you haven't heard the term, where someone can move into a vacant home that perhaps you're selling, and they'll move into your home, and it can take you up to a year in court to even kick them out. Unsanitary streets, you know, defecating in front of businesses. You have the flesh-rotting drug called Trank that's out there that was meant for horses. It's a tranquilizer for the nervous system of a horse, and it literally rots the flesh of the users. It's been on the streets for about 6 years, but it's really amping up, and it really causes zombie-like states of people, hundreds upon thousands of people using and walking the streets and living in tents in these major cities. The immigration crisis, you know, and this is not the show by any means. I just, if I spend a moment talking about it, maybe just for the reflection of our own minds to bring a seriousness of what's happening to our country. Immigration crisis, hundreds of thousands of homeless individuals, cold and starving and poor, immigrants seeking refuge into the U.S. borders, promises of a better life that aren't here, while at the same time the drug cartel is bringing in the immigrants, sending them this way with promises of a better life while sticking drugs in their pocket to make them sellers on our streets. It's not my street. But these homeless camps are everywhere. They're taking over city streets, closing down shopping malls. The theft, the robbery, the homicides, the anarchy that is breaking out is visually a marvel, my sisters. It's a reality. 60% of Americans live from paycheck to paycheck. 60% of Americans live from paycheck to paycheck. That is a large number of hundreds of thousands of Americans, even millions, that in just one paycheck loss or a job loss, they're hitting the streets or they're going to live off of family or credit as long as they can. But the banks run out of money. They're threatening electric cars to shut down if you violate social media. If you drive an electric car and you violate social media, you could go without power in your car for 72 hours. Now is the time truly to humble ourselves and seek his face, you know. And I realize that everyone listening may not even be interested in watching that, nor am I promoting that visually. It can be very disturbing. Obviously, don't promote children to view what's happening, but this is our reality from coast to coast. And of course, something like the wildfire in Texas burning more than 1 million acres and 7,000 cows dying. These are all building up to potential civil war and unrest, and one of, you know, the reasons that the Father has cried out for so long through pastor and through just his word of truth, that we would come out and be separate. But in that coming out, there's trials and afflictions of the flesh and uncomfortableness and sacrifices that can have anyone wanting to turn back. But truly, may Yah be lifted up for the set-apart desire that we have in our hearts to live and dwell together and to endure together and to wait for his return, because this country is hanging on by a thread, truly. But that's all I have to say for that. We are keeping the feast. That's what we're doing. We're keeping the feast. We are little sanctuaries. We are truly trying to obey the Almighty Creator and the Elohim of the Hebrews. Mother Jennifer?
You know, Sister Ashley, hearing you talk about all of that, you just really think about Yah's will and all of it is for us to trust him, for us to just fully trust him, for us to truly obey him, for us to be desperate for him and nothing else, you know, not for us to get used to all of the, you know, the soft things that we have, the things that would make life easier, but to really fully trust in him. And if there's anything that stands in the way of that, then he's going to make sure that he is number one in your life because he loves us that much. So just like we talked about last week, you know, he really brings you to a low place so that you can trust in him. He will truly strip away everything that is not of him so that he can be number one in your life the way that he needs to be because that's his place. Sister Ashley?
Hallelujah. I want to read an email before we proceed tonight. And it says, Shalom, beloved Mother Jennifer and Sister Ashley. Much honor and blessings to your master's homes. I wanted to take a moment to express my deepest gratitude to both of you for the incredible impact you've had on my walk through this show. Your wisdom, guidance, and unwavering support has taught me invaluable lessons about womanhood, and I'm forever grateful. Your voices have been a source of comfort and inspiration, guiding me through life's challenges with grace and strength, and thank you for sharing your experiences with lessons, your wisdom, your stories, and your laughter. You've touched my heart in ways I cannot fully express, and with that, I'm truly grateful to the Most High, Yah, for using you as vessels to pour into us. And please know that your influence extends far beyond the airwaves and into the lives of countless listeners like myself. Hallelujah. Glory to the King of Kings with heartfelt gratitude and appreciation from Africa. That's an honor. I believe and I know that each of you who are called out to be separate and each of you who belong to the Father and you are a daughter of the Most High Yah, you will have people in your life to strengthen you and to increase your faith and to help you along this way. And if we can do that for anyone, one or many, he gets all of the glory. Hallelujah. Something happened to me, then the show goes on. Something happened to Mother Jennifer, the show goes on. That's his spirit. That's his doing. So bless his holy name. Thank you for your kind words. Thank you for acknowledging the testing that we've been through. I know you didn't type the word testing, but that's what I am going to talk about tonight, and I'm going to pick Mother Jennifer's brain. And by you saying that we're a source of comfort and inspiration, and that you said we're a source of wisdom, guidance, and unwavering support, then you are also paying honor and respect to what we've been through. And that, I'm telling you now, is not to be taken lightly. It's my life, you know. It's Mother Jennifer's life. It's your life. It's the only life you've been given. It's the only life you'll ever be given. And it is to be taken very serious. Hallelujah. At one time, I didn't know what I know now. Jennifer, would you like to add anything?
I just wanted to say that the email is an honor to read this, you know, because when a woman is actually listening and taking heed and actually living it, that really is great. It's wonderful to hear when a woman truly loves Yah, and it really shows through this email. So bless you and thank you, dear sister.
Yes, thank you. So as I was fumbling for my pen, I was telling y'all my story earlier, the pen that I wanted to write with when I had that moment of, peace and no noise in the home. it hit me to talk about testing, Yah testing his people. And also, I reflected on how you might fear being tested or be unaware when he tests you, the trials and afflictions of life, you know, the confusion, all that. And I wanted to pose a question to any and all of you, myself included. Are you trusted by the Creator to be brought low? Because that's what a test will do. Are you trusted by the Creator to be brought low and to be tested, and in the end, glorify him? Will you love him and endure that test, you know? This testing could go on anywhere. It's not just community life, you know. I spoke with a sister who lived many, many states away before I ever met her. And she said one of the most relatable shows in her early years of listening that we gave her, Yah through us gave her, was when we would talk about world events. And oftentimes, you know, just like I ran down the chat at the beginning of the show about what's really happening in the world, somehow that touched her because you can be so far removed from our lifestyle without the experience of knowing us or living like we do that we can come across as very foreign, you know, that there can be a large distance between our understanding and our speech. And I do appreciate her sharing that because it's a way to grow this show to gain anyone to the Messiah, to say that I want, Mother Jennifer wants, this show to be relatable to any of you seeking the Father, you know, with a sincere heart. And so I wanted to, this is how my heart went. There are behaviors noted in our scriptures that I want to highlight specifically within two individuals, Joseph and Job. And those behaviors, if we can reflect on them, can perhaps minister to us in our lives as we go through our testing, as we are also tried. And so, well, Jennifer, anything to say? Are you ready to go move on? I'm just going to ramble about Joseph for a minute and some of my reflections.
Nothing to say, Sister Ashley. I'm ready.
Hallelujah. Thank you for listening. So Joseph's heart, obviously he was a child or a young boy when he was first mentioned of with the favor that he had from his father. His father's name, of course, was eventually named Israel. But he was favored above his brothers, according to the account we read. And it was had to be, obviously, because of his nature and his character and his respect and honor for his father. Right? We would assume that. I think that's okay to assume. That might not be written, but his love from his father was above his other brothers, and he had many. Okay? So this is a heart that he had even as a young boy. Now imagine being that young boy, 10, 15, 12, 9, I don't know, but your brothers walk up to you and somehow forcibly take your coat and they strip you and end up selling you to Ishmaelites. Now, I can only imagine the screams that Joseph may have screamed from the pit in the earth. Did he believe his brothers were just playing around? Maybe he didn't scream at all. Maybe he wasn't afraid at all. Maybe it was a joke. Would they return for him? You know? What type of fear really was inside of his heart in that hole deep in the ground? Did he long for his father? You know, hoping somebody would hear him. It's a terrible moment to think about. And he sold for 20 pieces of silver. Remember, we're talking about testing and trials, okay? But I want to just reflect on Joseph for a minute. So what about the fear he felt when he entered a new country, when he saw abominations that he never saw before? He didn't grow up like we did, where we were visually surrounded by them and desensitized. You know, it's nothing to see a faggot. Can I say that? Forgot? A rainbow, a Skittle? I don't know. I got to remember these social media policies. But his father would have never agreed to show him the abominations that he was now viewing, right? And the account proves that he kept the faith throughout his entire life, with no schoolmaster, no pastor, right? No Bible readings. We don't have any of that written down. That he read scrolls, that he was taught in school. We don't have any of that. We just have an account of his faith. Literally alone. He was alone. Mother Jennifer.
You know, and when you talk about alone, Sister Ashley, even though I'm just going to bring this to us in this faith, even though we are together, there are still things that we have to go through because we, you know, we each have a personal relationship with the Father. So it may seem like you're alone going through certain things, but these are things that he wants you to lean on him for and to really depend on him for. Not saying that you can't reach out to someone or, you know, ask for help, but there are things at times where it's just you and him. So when Sister Ashley is talking about experiencing these things alone or going through it alone, to some degree it is. It's you and Yah, and that will grow your relationship with him. Sister Ashley?
So in Genesis 39, verse 4, it says that Potiphar liked Joseph and made him his personal assistant, putting him in charge of his house and all his property. And because of Joseph, the Most High began to bless Potiphar's family and fields. Now, this is impeccable nature, that your character, your meekness, your reverence, your speech, everything about you, Joseph, somehow showed such respect that you got made governor in some translations, personal assistant in some other translations, but Potiphar's family and his fields were blessed because of you, Joseph. And Potiphar left everything up to Joseph. And with Joseph there, the only decision he had to make, according to verse 6, was what he wanted to eat. Now, it seems like a high life, you know, trusted with riches and fame and authority, and he still didn't deny his Elohim. I mean, this is incredible, right? And then jumping to Genesis 41:14, the king sent for Joseph. That means go get him, you know, go get Joseph. I want to show you what he did, who was quickly brought out of jail, okay? And he was in jail for supposedly what he had said and done to Potiphar's wife. But that's an accusation, right? So king sends for Joseph, quickly brings him out of jail. And Joseph shaves, changes his clothes, and then goes to the king. So there was a nature about him. There was a submission to the king, complete pagan king, a whole nother authority. There was still such a submission in his heart to this other man that he would go the way that he should go and appear before the king the way that was demanded of him. And there's such reverence in that statement, Genesis 41:14, because we can't, I'm just saying we general, you know, in general, can't honor our pagan bosses at our jobs with that type of same honor, you know? The attitude of, I ain't going to do nothing you say. I'm a Hebrew. Like, wow, all you need to do is, I don't know, put this headset on your ear. You know, put this hat on, please. Wear this uniform, buy this shoe, whatever it is. And we got to put our mouth on it, you know? But look how he carried himself with 100% pagans. There's no proof of another Hebrew. It's not written. And then Potiphar noticed that Joseph's God blessed him so much that he gave him charge to in turn allow himself to be blessed. So Potiphar's saying, okay, your God's giving you favor, so I'm gonna pull on Joseph's anointing, basically. I'm going to give you more of this and more of this so that we can be blessed. So he, you know, Potiphar was blessed. His fields were blessed. There was no account of Joseph's pride, you know. Like, this dude, you know, to hell with him, right? To hell with his demands and his expectations of me. Like, no, it was total surrender. And I'm almost positive there were some pretty terrible days that he would have surrendered to some bogus stuff. Man, why I got to go do this to the prisoner, or take that to the animal, whatever the service was. He even, Joseph, by his nature, restored his entire family and his brothers with forgiveness and love. And if y'all think about that, what about the abandonment? How come you got so much honor, Joseph, that you can restore your family and your brothers in complete forgiveness the first time you lay eyes on them when they abandoned you, hurt you, sold you? I haven't seen him in years. What about the true rejection? What about all the feelings and the emotions and the fluff? You know, what about the lies? They lied to your dad. You don't want to know what they did and said all these years? You know, what about the criticism, the judgmentalism? There's no account of that. What about not knowing if you'd ever see him again? All the fine-tuning details. of life's test year after year after year when you didn't see them, you know, washing away all that pain and still serving with an upright heart, serving your God, the God of the Hebrews. Mother Jennifer.
You know, Sister Ashley, when you talk about the account, the abandonment, the rejection, it just really goes to show you that there was such a resolve in Joseph to truly represent Yah, to truly trust Yah no matter what. When you carry the name of Yah, there's a character that you take after automatically because you carry his name. And so I just think about the resolve that Joseph had in him to not be bitter, to not harbor unforgiveness, to represent Yah the way that he knew would represent Yah, you know, in a respectful manner, and not to put shame to his name at all. Sister Ashley?
Very good. And, you know, imagine the fear that he faced when Potiphar's wife lied on him. I don't know if you've ever been lied on, you know. I don't know if you've ever lied on somebody. But what did he fear Potiphar would say or do, you know? Put yourself in that place, you know, the fear that can grip you. You know, I don't know. Could he lose his home, lose his place, lose his authority, lose his life, be jailed forever, lose his reputation, his honor, all his friends, everyone he loved? But he had to still show honor. He had to still serve. It's an incredible character. Would we know if this was required out of you? Would we know if Yah was testing anyone amongst us? Would we notice? You know, he showed so much honor to Potiphar, a heathen king. A heathen king. You understand? You ever showed honor to a heathen? If you hadn't, then you got to sit down. You got no vote, no words, no input. Right? But he showed so much honor to Potiphar, this heathen king, that Potiphar had become very angry and threw Joseph in a prison where the king's prisoners were kept, right? So at least he was a little, you know, elevated. But while Joseph was in prison, of course not knowing would he get out, the Most High helped him and was so good to him in the prison that Yah made the jailer, like Joseph so much, and he put him in charge of the other prisoners. And he put him in charge of everything that was done in the jail. I hope y'all are getting this message that it doesn't matter where you are or who you're with or who you serve. I'm meaning, you know, maybe you're in Georgia, maybe you're in Minnesota, maybe you're in California alone. Going back to that sister who talked to me and said, you know, I enjoy the relatability of this show. That's something I want to increase about how we talk, like Jennifer and I, to make this relate to each of us and go, okay, how would you do in this situation? Do you have the honor to be tested in this manner? Okay, we're not all Joseph. We're not even a man. We're a woman. We're nothing. I get it. But do you have the honor to be tested? Can you be tested and bring glory to the Father? Can your obedience, your submission, your character, your kindness, your temperance, your self-control, can all of that really get heaven's attention? Can it make Yah want to favor you and reward you? Because as a good father, full of love for you and jealous over you, there's no way that he doesn't want to reward you for his righteousness in you, for standing, for making it through, you know, for honor, for integrity. Mother Jennifer?
Sister Ashley, I think about, you know, when the word talks about the trying of your faith and how it works, patience. And we've heard many times by the man of Yah, you know, when he would say, you know, who's ever prayed for patience and what happened when you prayed for patience? You're not just going to automatically receive patience. You're going to be put in situations where you're going to learn patience, where you're going to be able to grow in patience. And so when you think about the trying of your faith, that is what works patience. And we have to allow patience to have her perfect work so that we can be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. And those words sound so beautiful. It sounds like a perfect little soliloquy But when you actually walk through it and when you actually live it, it is something completely different. The end part is beautiful, but while you're going through it, that is the part that looks a bit rough. Sister Ashley?
Hallelujah. I got a phone call. I want to see. Just because it's 615, I want to take it because it's our area code. So I got a 615. If you press 1, we're going to you. Hallelujah. And we're taking you because I'm a little favored to the 615 area right now. Let's see who we could be talking to. Let's see. Area code 615, welcome to the show. Shalom. Nope. Okay. Possibly just an accidental one, maybe just listening. Appreciate the listening. All right. So going back to Potiphar, right? Potiphar gives him a wife. Okay. Now, mind you, this woman, is she a Hebrew? No. So this is another opportunity to love something or someone more than your God, Joseph. You know, it's another opportunity to be surrounded by a woman, her thoughts, her character, more images, I don't know. You know, you're already walking the hallways of this place, prayers of unholy things, influences in your own home. And mind you, you were only a young boy when you left your father's home. So you had an influential mind. It is nothing but the grace and mercy of the Father to keep you through this circumstance. So Joseph doesn't get all the credit, actually. You know? So he has two sons named according to his Elohim, right, and according to his faith. And then I just marvel at his character. He was 30, right? And it says, that's the only account of the age that we can read about him. He was 30. He was gathering corn. And, of course, even this was led by Yah. No man is helping him with his decision-making skills. You know, this is a connection to the Most High and a character and behavior that regardless of some input into your life, you held such a high standard of righteousness that you could see what was coming. Yah was continually favoring you, communicating to you. He's connected to Yah, obviously even prophetically, right, to know that that's coming. So you add that 30 years or so that he was when he started gathering corn, and then you add that 7-year famine, and then you got, okay, he's approaching 40 years old, 40 years of an influence of another society, another language, right? And this is a lifetime for us. 40 is a lifetime for us. Then they died after 100, but a lifetime of commitment thus far from Joseph, and never forgetting this constant test, you know, that's happening for him, you know, the visuals, the influences. And he doesn't have the influence of homesteading. He doesn't have the influence of preppers. He doesn't have the influence of communities. He doesn't have the influence of other brothers and sisters and keepers of the faith, not to justify that any of us should be alone without one another, because in this dispensation of time, this is what's afforded and given to us as a strength, you know, for our character. But he didn't have those influences, you know. So it's just a really, really a heck of a test and heck of a faith. And so he even makes a law as a governor. He could do that, obviously. That he would give the Pharaoh 1/5 of all the seeds to sow the land. So he's giving, you know, back to the man that's rewarding him. So there was a relationship and a bond with this man, obviously an honor, you know. All countries are coming and buying from him. He gathered this corn, these seeds, this the needs of many countries. Imagine the labor that it took. You know, of course he gets the praise, but there had to be many of people helping him along the way. Israel, of course, his father, his brothers, they become blessed. They grow up there, multiply in a country called Goshen, all because of Joseph. I keep saying Yah gets the credit and Yah gets the glory because Yah gave the favor. Yah sent the test and affliction. Yah's love in the end benefited multiple people and even other countries by the favor that he gave one man. And Yah had thoughts of peace for Yosef from the beginning. From the beginning. You know, and that helps us in our reflections that from the beginning of a test and from the beginning of affliction and the beginning of sorrow, that Yah has thoughts of peace and knows your end. Jacob lived to be maybe 170 or whatever the account says. Don't quote me on that. And he asked Yosef, his own son, to bless him before he dies. You know, put your hand here and bless me, basically. So Joseph just truly loved the Most High. And I'll wrap my thoughts up about him and jump to you, Mother. But I want to say, can we be trusted to be tested like that? I want to keep, you know, saying that because, you know, can you be brought low? Can you be abandoned? Can you be forgotten? Can you be betrayed? Can you be lied on? Can you regain your honor? Can you regain your honor? Can you do that? Can you be silent, right? Not speak to everybody about your business and what you're going through. That's a true test. Silence. Can you humble yourself and remain quiet through a test? Are you stuck even on fearing testing? And that alone proves that you have yet yielded yourself to the Father to surrender to what he may have for you. And if you remember, I know Mother Jennifer does, what I said in the beginning of the show, of what this earth, I'm just speaking of this country, is even looking like. We are barely holding on. And we have these hours and these days to draw near unto the Creator. And the only way we can do that is by our behavior and our nature changes. Huge leaps and bounds towards righteousness. It's the inner man of the heart that we have to conform and change to. It's not anyone else's view of us or anyone else's opinion of us. It is a connection with the Creator. Sin and iniquity separate you from your Father. If you want to shorten that distance between you and him, you will continually plead the blood, continually confess, and make great changes in your character. Because even going forward in tribulation, we can be little lights, little sanctuaries, and still be blessed. Hallelujah. Mother Jennifer.
I liked when you brought up regaining honor, you know, because even in that, you have to really focus on what does Yah desire of me in this particular testing, this particular time. What is it that he desires of me? Maybe right now I just need to be still. I just need to sit and I just need to wait. I need to trust him. I need to just continue to trust him. I need to allow my faith to be increased. But what is it that he desires of me? You know, it's not so much about you sitting and begging and pleading for what he can do for you. It's about you putting yourself in a position and asking, what is it that you are requiring of me right now, Father? Sister Ashley?
Hallelujah. You know, I have things that I go through that I don't speak about, and I believe that we all should have that. We're taught to store up our treasures in the kingdom, and the things that we do on earth, you know, such as buying things, giving to the saints, you know, blessing one another, those are storing up treasures, you know, not for vainglory and purposes that we need to share and announce to one another. I do want to just briefly say this, and never said it on a show in my life, nor will I share the details because it's to my shame, but I dishonored Pastor Dow and Sister Nellie many years ago. You guys, none of you are aware of it. The entire ministry is not aware of it. I don't know that they've ever shared it or spoke of it. And through that dishonor, I know hand in hand specifically my determination to regain honor. Because I had a good rapport and a good reputation with Pastor. And that just means because of my love for Jesus, you know, being at that time like a daughter to him. And it's very devastating to mess up your reputation to anyone that you love. And it is placed upon you to regain that. It's not up to them to do anything but to wait and watch your character and to see what type of resolve and love that you will produce. So don't think that, you know, we are short of trials and afflictions. I'm not. Jesus knows I'm not. It's often weekly, literally, it's weekly. The adder without enchantment will still bite. I've used that verse before. Lay in bed with your jammies on, with your blanket up, all you want. Leave your shower cap on and don't even get out of bed. I promise you, Satan can still find you. He can still accuse you, and you can still do something crazy. You still yield to him. You know, that's we don't got to do-do-do-do-do, play the flute for him and tempt him. to do anything. That's what that verse means. And so I do want to say by experience that I have regained honor. I pray so. And that I was determined to do that from the initial sin. And I want to share it to bring strength to you, because maybe you or any of you may have lost your reputation with a brother or a sister. Maybe you have fought to love, and maybe you've fallen into dishonor and disrespect. It's not about the moment, you know. It's about the end. It's about the end. And because we've all been selected and chosen to come out and live and dwell together, that means we're going to be used to grind one another. Somebody's going to be dishonored. Somebody's going to be disrespected. Somebody's going to be kind, you know, and somebody's going to be an example of the light of Jesus Christ to you. You have everything you need. You're part of the body of Yeshua. But most definitely, he is seeking who he can test. All right? What about Job, Mother Jennifer? Because I don't think, and pause before I go to Job, would you like to add anything, Mother, about regaining honor? I know you already, you know, you kind of sparked me on that one when you brought it back up, but let's jump to you for a minute.
I think it was perfectly said, and I think, you know, a key point is iron sharpening iron, how we're called to live together, you know, and that way we can sharpen each other, we can work things out that are within us that we didn't know were there, but that is one important part. You know, when you are on your own, you're by yourself, there's no one there to sharpen you. There's no one there to that the Father can really use to just test you so you can see what is in you. So that is really important, the fact that we are called to dwell together and we can sharpen one another. Sister Ashley?
Hallelujah. And it's only the Most High Yah that's going to reveal your heart and who you truly are anyway. It's his battle to fight. So it's not like you can do things to, you know, a lot of people fear judgment of someone or maybe even a leader, and respectfully so. Of course you want their favor, but you don't take that fear all the way through and say, I want the Father to prove who I am, you know, and prove my heart for them, for the ministry, for the Most High. The Father knows our hearts, so it's only a matter of time before you do regain your honor and your love and respect, you know. I've lost my honor more than once. Lost some people, never gained it back. Whether I, you know, I'm not saying I'm justified in anything or done right or wrong. It's just this is my lot. This is my life, and I've been tested. You'll be tested, and that's why I go to Job, because I don't think that many can relate to him at all. And I don't say that as a, criticizing statement, because you have to be chosen to be tested and brought low. And only Yah and his angels know who that is. I believe we're all tested, but to the extreme measure that he could test someone for his glory is different. And every trial we go through isn't Yah, you know. Some things are life, but the fruit that you get from every trial can glorify him. He can carry you through everything. No intention to cause any confusion here or to label anything you're going through Yah or not Yah. But every test that the Father sends, he doesn't counsel with any man for permission or awareness. You know, he may tell you that he's going to test you. He may speak it to you. He did to Elder Kabir. I've heard it once in my spirit. As a matter of fact, I heard it twice, 3 months apart. Almost dropped me to my knees. So I knew it was him. And let me tell you, the test flooded my life. Hasn't ended yet. And so he will choose who he tests and who he humbles, and it's an honor. So let's go to Job for a second. I think sometimes it helps it to tell it like a story. So Satan considers Job. That means Satan's mind is on Job. Satan's watching Job. Satan picks him out. Why? I don't know. But it does say that there was none like him in the earth. That's a pretty powerful statement. Out of the entire earth, there's one man that Satan, you know, it draws Satan's attention. Lost audio for one sister. Let's see if anybody else lost it. I keep talking. Word also says that Job was perfect and upright, and he feared Yah. He eschewed evil. What did eschew mean? He refused to do it. He refused to do evil. And so Satan says to Yah, in the only recorded conversation between the entities that we have, I don't know of any other, you know, from cover to cover, where Satan and Yah are having a conversation, and that is shared to us. And Satan says, Job fears Yah for nothing. Right? Thanks for the sound check. Job fears Yah for nothing. What does that mean? That means, why shouldn't he respect you, Yahweh? You're like a wall protecting him and his entire family and his property. Everything he's got is protected by you. You make him successful in everything he does. You make his flocks and his herds multiply. Try taking all that away, Yahweh. Everything he owns, and he's going to curse you to your face. You know, try taking away everything he owns, he'll curse you to your face. And what do y'all say? All right, Satan, Lucifer, do what you want with anything that belongs to him, but don't harm him. So let's talk. Let's talk about this. Because from our small measure of understanding, if you have Satan's manifested mockery and Satan's manifested hate for those that love Yah, then you have Satan also mocking Yah about how we're going to end up, which, of course, he's going to allow us to go through to prove Satan right or to prove his love and get glory. So what does he do? He assigns the test. Now, mind you, I'm going to go back to the thought, guys, that he didn't counsel with any man for prevention or awareness to do what he's done for you in your life. Matter of fact, you have not even heard that conversation. If Satan has ever brought up your name, you haven't heard it. You don't even have a clue, myself either. This is heaven, you know. We don't know what's going on in heaven. Mother Jennifer.
Exactly, Sister Ashley. And, you know, a lot of times when you are put through a test, and you think about this account in Job where Satan was given permission to try Job, to test him. You know, when you think about that and you think about your own life and your own self, and it puts you in a position of marvel, you know, where you just really do marvel that, wow, the Father actually trusts me, that I would trust him in this area. And that is what the motivation is, when he knows that you are going to trust him. And so you're put in a position where you're tried because he knows that you're going to trust him. He knows that you're going to grow. He knows that you're going to run to him. He knows that you're not going to lean on your own devices or lean on your own understanding. And so, you know, that's just one thing that just really encourages you when you're going through. Sister Ashley?
Yes. Encouraged going through. That's what it's about. And I want to say, because of Yah's favor and his trust and his belief in Job, that he knew Job's end and he knew how important it was for Job's flesh to experience the test. And that just takes a lot of love, you know, from the Father to watch your son have to go through that, but to know the end, you know. And I consider, once again, Joseph's heart too, you know, as an example of favor and trust and belief, that can the Father trust me, believe in me, and have favor towards me from his heavenly viewpoint, that I can go through this, you know, and that I can still glorify him. Interestingly, I'm not sure how much any of us consider how we are used in the testing of one another. Now, it's a really selfish perspective to know how others are testing you. Like, that's easy to acknowledge, right? But we are not making our own decisions like we think we are in our walk. We're not, truly. And that's pride of this life and flesh, to believe that you're making your own decisions. We're always being used, always. Mother Jennifer, you have something to add to that?
I don't, Sister Ashley. I think you put it perfectly. You can go ahead.
Hallelujah. We're going to wrap up this show with Job. So I just want to share, you know, all my thoughts that I had today about Job, and, you know, Job's sons die and his daughters die, and he loses strength in his body, and he loses his health. See, automatically, for anyone who's experienced any of that, there's a connection and a compassion and an empathy. But the flesh is so haughty, if you've not experienced any of that, and there's no connection, you're just listening intently because you desire to know, or you're, you know, wanting to grow, or whatever. But just know that there's many listening ears, and there's connections. You know, your children, you lose your children, you lose your strength in your body, you lose your health. Boils on his feet, boils on the crown of his head. You know, Satan doesn't take his wife. Why do you take his wife, Satan? Well, it seems like, from my perspective, that his wife is used by Satan, you know. Leave her there, but use her, you know, to make painful statements like daggers and accusations against the Creator. Job can't sleep. There's no friends. Fear everywhere. You can't see Yah. You can't feel Yah. You can't hug Yah. All this happened in a moment, just a moment. No affection is written anywhere about how the Father touched him intimately, right, and just overwhelmed him with his presence until he spoke and still rebuked him. And so just Job's heart's communication is all that's recorded. And there was a moment where Job had so much grief that he sat 7 days and seven nights not even speaking a word. I don't know how many of you guys may have had experiences like that, but it's a terrible state of mind. You know, he cursed the day he was born. Why didn't I die? You know, he compares his life, all these thoughts, you know, that are recorded, he compares his life to kings, to princes, to prisoners, to servants, to masters. He confesses, the thing that I feared the most has come upon me. Remember, he was an upright, just man. He did not do evil. He did not practice it. It was not his character. But these things have befallen him. So what would we say to the person who was living this life in our ministry, in our home, in our family, you know, in our communities? If this fell upon someone, it's best not to speak of the things that, you know, presumptuously, of the things that we know not. Mother Jennifer?
You know, I wanted to go back to when you were talking about Job's wife as a woman. If you are married, a really good question to ask yourself is, you know, am I being used to bring hardship to my husband? Am I being used in an area that would make him weak or that would bring him down? We know the word talks about, you know, how a wicked woman, she makes the countenance heavy, and there's a wicked woman that will not comfort her husband in distress, and she will make her husband weak. And so that's just something really good to reflect on. Am I that wife? Am I the one that is actually being used to make him weak? Sister Ashley?
Good question tonight. Definitely good question. So for Job, you got friend number one, you know, and truly it could have been in this man's heart to sincerely help him. I'm just reflecting tonight on Job, you know. But... Eliphaz was his name, and he tries to comfort him by saying, you know, seek Yah. That sounds like good counsel. It really does, especially when you're reading it, you know, reads like wisdom, looks like wisdom. But is that easy when you're in pain? When you're brought low, is it easy to seek Yah? Maybe it's easy to cry out to him. Of course, that's easy. The desperation's there. But if the answer don't come, how easy is it, you know? Is that the advice that helps? Well, it says, just seek Yah. I am, you know, whatever the flesh might say. It still doesn't give you an answer. You still have to beg, pray, and wait, right? And Job says, I can't take this pain. The arrows of Yah are in me. The terrors of Yah are against me. He's questioning his own self. The pain of the death of his family and the fields that he lost, that his health and the fears that are upon him is too much to bear. It really is too much. What can I do or say, he says. What can I do? The desperation, you know, that most of us maybe haven't even experienced. That's why it's so, like for me, that's why I observe what's happening in the earth, you know, desolation that's coming. I don't know who's going to experience it. If I will, you will, he, she, whatever. But there is just a matter of time before what is happening in rural America with the drug abuse, drug use and poverty, and the city streets of violence, robbery, crime. It is just a matter of time before it takes over the next street and the next street and the next state and the next state. It's a world without rule of law. It is happening. You know, the visual that the media is putting out, as well as the movies and the Netflix and the Disney Plus and all the avenues of the things that you can watch the millionaires in L.A. all day long selling real estate. But right down below, three blocks over from their high tower, is 900 homeless walking the streets, defecating, waiting on the next high. It's a matter of time. Back to Job, okay? So I want to finish up, but you know how much you can relate to Job or not. You know how much he can touch your heart or not, how much, you know, testing you've had or not. You know, and nothing is to be made little. Nothing. Mother Jennifer?
Very well put, Sister Ashley. I don't have anything to add.
Hallelujah. Hey, let me wrap up my thoughts and breeze through this, because you have Bill Dad who came. He was a friend number two, and his words didn't comfort either. Once again, it's not that Bill Dad didn't want to. It's the experience that Job is having that's not allowing him to relate to anyone else that could comfort him. So what does he say to him? Same thing friend number one says. Seek Yah, you know, make your prayer to him. But it's just words when you're going through. It's just chatter, you know. It's not really help. It doesn't mean that that person, there's anything wrong with that person, anything wrong with Bildad. I'm not saying that, but he is seeking Yah. Y'all understand? He is being purged. Yah is allowing this, you know, because of his love, not because of his hate, not because of Yah's hate, right? Job's in a place that his friends aren't, you know, so there's no empathy or relation to his friends. What his friends are living, how they're living, what they're going through is not what Job is experiencing at this time. And that could happen to any of us, you know. Job says, I'm bitter. He admits it. I'm confused. I'm bitter. If I be wicked, woe unto me, right? Because none of us should be justified in our wickedness. But he said, if I be righteous, I can't even lift my head up. So everyone just leave me alone. You know, if I be wicked, it seems like what has come upon me would be a judgment for someone wicked. If I be righteous and I strive to live upright and do the things, he don't know what Yah has said about him. He doesn't know that Yah has said he's a perfect and upright man. And so, man, if I be righteous, I can't even lift my head. You can't win, you know. Where's the reward for the righteous if this is the payment? So maybe someone or many someones can come into the faith. I'm going to ask Mother Jennifer, I'm going to turn this into a question. And really seek to fill voids, you know. You can come to the faith. It's a new life. It's a new way. It's a new hope. It's a hope for happiness. It's a hope for great change. But this earth, you know, is really travailing. Hold on. Pause before I turn this into a question. I'm going to a verse, Romans 8. For the earnest expectation of the creature waits for the manifestation of the sons of Yah. It says, we know that the whole creation groans and travails in pain together. So there's a lot happening in the earth. So you can run to flee for a better place, a better life, a better way, a new change, a new broom, as we call it. But trials and testings are going to come, proving your heart before the Creator in this way, in this here and now, in this 2024 and beyond. And you'll notice, you know, it doesn't seem at times, if you're being tested or trials, afflictions, or all these things are present to the top of the surface of who you are because of your iniquity, first of all, and because of his love for you, he knows his time is short to get you right. You hear me say that often. So it doesn't seem much more rewarding in the faith than in the world if you have the wrong mind. That's why people turn. Then they go back to the world looking to fill the void with another hope and another happiness because we didn't meet that. I didn't meet it, you didn't meet it, and somebody offended you. But who's going to stand
I'm not here for anyone else but my Creator. I stand for Him. I will stay for Him. I will speak for Him. That I live for Him. That's it. Right? So now that sounds far-fetched. But wait until your bitter heart spews its vileness to Yah during a test or during something that happens to you. And don't think for a moment that any of us are above all the words that Job spewed to the surface of his being when he confessed his bitterness, you know? And it's very humbling. It's very, very humbling. We should hold our, we should be able to bow our necks truly and not get overexcited about the fluff of this life or even the blessings of this life. And the tender mercies of Yah do bring great blessings that we should rejoice and shout over because we're rewarded because of Him. But don't be so accustomed to all that glory and all those things, because it's through great trial, testing, great loss that you are proven. So, Mother Jennifer, did you want to say anything about, you know, maybe somebody coming out to fill a void, or just any thoughts?
You know, I wanted to say, Sister Ashley, that when you have been accustomed to being in the world and you come out of the world and you come into the faith and you learn who Yah really is and you learn our culture, you learn who He's created you to be, you understand what love is. You understand what love is from a very different perspective than what you've known it to be from the world. The world knows love is just getting everything that you want. You know, it's all based on emotion. It's all based on feeling. But true love, from what we know it according to Yah, is getting everything that we need. And when you haven't known what love really is, and you can misunderstand it as hate, you can think that you are hated. And all He's doing is refining you. He's testing you. He's burning out everything that is not of Him. And we have to remember that we're not fighting against flesh and blood. The purpose of everything is to make sure that you have His character, that you carry His character. So with what the world teaches you about love, it could be easy to mistake love for hate because you don't understand what the true meaning of love is until you come this way and you meet the true Yah. Sister Ashley?
Hallelujah. I think we've had such back-to-back short shows for a while that I'm feeling rushed inside myself. But I'm just going to chill out and finish these thoughts. If we go, we go. We wrap it up. Bless y'all. I just want to share that because thank y'all for listening. I hope you're getting something out of it. And it being our last show for a while, so it's something you can listen on repeat if it blesses you. But friend number three, here he comes. His name is Zophar. And he comes, you know, to Job. And he says, you can't search or find out Yah, but if you could hear Yah, He would open His lips against you. And that's a real painful stab to say. Once again, not judging His intent, because He could have really, truly intended to help. I'm just coming from Job's perspective that you do. There's a couple things that happen, you know, when you're being tested. One of them is you want to justify yourself. Two is you're devastated, humiliated, or embarrassed thinking that Yah would, as Mother Jennifer said, hate you. All right, so you purge all the emotions that you have out against the Creator. And then you have defense mechanisms that you do when you're being tried and afflicted, and usually you want to fight back. You fight for a while, you know, you fight. Fight for a while. Fight and stand, and fight and stand, and pray and focus, and go to work and do this and repeat and over until the affliction becomes too great to stand any longer. But thanks, Zophar, for even more pain, right, for your statements, because by his friends lifting up Yah, which is what they should do, Job is bruised even more, because after all, isn't he lifting up Yah? You know, a Yah-fearing man refusing to do evil. Did an evil act cause the test? Did something he did cause the test? No, there's no record of it. You know, and that's really humbling. Nor was us being able to read into this or think like we think or just, you know, put ourselves into it and ramble on the way that I am. None of that means that I know either. You know, we can all look into it and just speculate. And so that's what his friends were also doing, speculators. And that can be very painful. Once again, another reason to just keep yourself silent. So he says, Job says, I'm nothing, you're nothing, we're nothing. And he exalts Yah too. And he believes if he does that, that he's going to be helped. And so he keeps, you know, expressing all his pain, begging Yah to take it, expressing his heart the best way that he can, continual confessions, says to his friends, I see you, I hear you, I see you, I hear you, I know your words, but they're more than ashes to me. You're just adding more ashes to me. I hear you, I see you, what you're saying is true, I get it, right? And after all, none of them have had the experience, period, that gives strength to Job. So it's just speculation from their view and from their level, you know, and he's totally humiliated. And so anytime you go through anything, it's just you. It's just you and Yah. And so another defense mechanism is to seek help. And it's easier to ask somebody to help you than to seek and wait on Yah. So you may ask one person, then the next, and the next, and the next. And you just exhaust all these means, and still there's no help, you know. So Yah's hand is bringing him really low. And I say Yah's hand because Satan is allowed to do what he does in our lives. And his limitations are put as well. And that's why Yah deserves so much mercy, because he could crush us, you know. We get something in our eye, we cry. Hit our thumb with a hammer, we cry. Feel some crazy emotion and we're off for 6 hours crying about it. Now imagine the affliction in the hand of Yah, you know, or the hand of Satan. We don't have a strength against that. And so Job is fighting to keep his integrity, but he just don't understand. And so day after day after day, it's not a short battle. You know, the endurance, the test, the resolve that he had to have. But to end Job's account, here comes Elihu, right? And Elihu rebukes Job. So we can read it and say, hallelujah. Man, here comes this young man, on fire for the Father. Sure, we could paint that perspective, and that would be right. Hallelujah. This young man standing up for Yah. Praise Yah. But in this account, I'm going to say, don't you know that brings more pain? You're going through what you're going through, and here I come with the sword, right? Not saying that shouldn't have happened. I'm just saying, there's another painful blow to Job. He's already low. Scraping your skin with a potsherd. So here comes Elihu, right? Elihu says, you said this, you said that about yourself. You said you was clean, without transgression, innocent, no iniquity in you. Well, didn't Yah say perfect and upright? Right? So at one point, Job is saying that, if he ever said it, backing up Yah's testimony of him in heaven. So he's saying now to him that Yah finds you otherwise. So here he comes. When somebody represents the Most High and they're speaking to you, man, you're taking that stuff so serious. That's some of the most painful blows can be from somebody that you put so much trust in, right? That man, I'm expecting an answer from you. I'm needing this. It's total desperation. Could be a sister, could be a friend, a brother, your husband, or whatever, man. Whatever that moment, that whatever you say, I'm hinging on that. I'm going to do that. And I know when people come to me in complete desperation, I can have empathy and compassion and watch my words. And not add salt to your wounds unless your iniquity needs it, right? So remember someone's affliction when they stand before you, because you can add so much pain. Like I said, you don't know when you're used for someone's battle or test. But to conclude my thoughts, you know, no one knows Yah and Satan's conversation. I'm repeating that because no one heard it and no one can speak on it. You know, I don't know what Yah said about me to Satan. I don't know what he said about Mother to Satan. I don't know what he said about Pastor Dow to Satan. I don't even know if he's calling our names, you know. Of course he would call pastors. That's written in the word, smite the shepherd and the sheep scatter, right? And no one knows Yah is bringing strength and bringing the best out of Job to double reward him in the end. And no one knows through this whole process why they got their mouth on it, right, while they're thinking certain things. They don't know Yah's communication at all. And that's humbling. And Yah can just sit back and just laugh at his little children, or if he's even laughing at all, crying. And you know, who's reflected on being selected to be used by Yah or used by Satan? Who reflects on that? You know, it's just a good thought. That's all. So Job ends up better than he was in the beginning. But who loved him through it? And who stood with him? Who's with him, right? And who had that testimony in the earth? You know, because right now love is waxing cold. Men speaking presumptuously. Betrayers are set in our midst. I mean, this written word, eating, drinking, being married, all this stuff is Israel. That's us. Yah has not got his eye on anybody else. As Pastor has said, we're in the crosshairs. You know, that's you. That's me. Hallelujah. We need one another. We need compassion and strength from one another, consideration from one another. We surely need forgiveness. So let's end the show talking just a brief moment about forgiveness. Mom Jennifer, your thoughts?
I just wanted to say first, Sister Ashley, that, you know, we're not, as a people, we're just not used to waiting. We don't know what it really is or what it really means to wait. And when you think about the patience of Yah, when it comes to his patience, it's completely different from the patience that we would know or the patience that we have experienced in our own lives. And so Yah is so patient to not intervene until his will is complete. And with you asked about forgiveness. Forgiveness is the paramount thing, you know, to make sure that you are walking upright with the Father. Make sure that you are making the confessions that you need to make to him, the things that are in your heart that are ugly, the things that don't represent him well, so that you can truly walk in total forgiveness, that you have nothing that would cause you to stumble, you'd have nothing that would cause anyone else to stumble, and that you could be forgiven as well. You know, if you don't forgive, then you can't be forgiven. So it's important to understand his patience, that he loves us so much that we have to wait on him while we're walking out forgiveness at the same time. Mr. Ashley?
Hallelujah. Well said. And as Sakina typed in the chat, you know, it's just you and Yah. It is. It's just you and Yah. And we need those moments of isolation. They don't feel good, but they bring great strength, and they bring wisdom. They bring a love, you know, desire the righteousness, my sisters, and desire the obedience that gets Yah's attention. You know, it's not based on anyone else. Obedience gets his attention. His eyes are like fire, looking to and fro all over the earth, right? You just watch it. He sees all. He hears all. I didn't know that when I first met him or when he even drew me by his love. By his love and by his kindness, he drew me. I didn't know. but he loves obedience so much. And that's just not this, you know, outward obedience to your husband or outward yes sir, yes ma'am, or yes sister, yes brother. It's not that at all. It's the heart, you know. It's the heart. That's it. We went a little over. I want to remind you all, as I said in the beginning of the show, thanks, Sakina, for the heads up that the 14th next fifth day. We usually go live every fifth day. If you miss this in the beginning of the show, I'm saying it now. Zion Lex interview with Pastor Dow. We're hoping that nothing's going to hinder that next fifth day, to be determined on the time. We don't know that. He met Pastor at the Hebrew to Negroes conference. Okay. I'm not saying follow him, find him, listen to him at all. I am promoting Pastor Dow's interview by or from Zion Lex, okay? The 21st, the saints are here because the land opened up March the 20th. On the 28th, these are fifth day dates. On the 28th, saints are still here. And April the 4th is, Yah willing, our next show. Can't thank you enough, hallelujah, for listening to tonight. Definitely, even if you haven't been through much or haven't known Yah in a special, intimate way, you're still able to hear shows like this, experiences like this from people who live it, and put these type of weapons in your arsenal. You know, put them. What would you say? Put these weapons in your tool belt. Okay, because at the time that you need them, you'll have them there. You know, it was years before I could speak the word. You know, it was years before I could say a verse out loud to somebody. It was like I was just listening to the word, you know, just listening to the preaching, just listening, 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 listen way more than I read, you know, and prayed way more than I read. But eventually, it's going to change your life. You know, start to be a light inside of you, and you'll be a strength to somebody else. Consider being used. Consider being brought low by the Most High Yah. Consider having such a character and nature that you gain his favor. Right? That's the goal. Like, what an honor to be able to gain the favor of our Hebrew Elohim. Right? Hallelujah. I'll end with a song, but Mother Jennifer, end from your end. Thank you for tuning in tonight, Mother Jennifer. Thank you for your words and your support. Bless you, and end the show.
Just wanted to give a reminder that says, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience, but let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Shalom.
I'm just trying to make you better than me, big brother.